Friends, the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the fourth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And waking up, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Be silent, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Friends, let's join our hearts in prayer. Oh God, it is a comfort to know that in the midst of whatever we face in life, we can lean fully into you and find you as that rock-solid foundation that steadies us in life's journey. And so today, as we gather around your word, as we sing with our voices, as we continue our journeys of faith, build within our hearts that reassurance that with you by our side, we are steady and true. Thank you for your presence here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I stand here before you today, it's kind of a bittersweet moment as I'm not always sure where to begin when I gather with friends in faith and have an opportunity to preach among you for the last time that I will be able to do so, at least in this capacity. So as I begin today, I wanted to just start by saying thank you. Thank you for entrusting myself and Deacon Joanne with these 5+ years to be among you, to serve you as pastoral leaders, and to have the distinct privilege to be able to lift up God's word before you and to offer from our hearts a message that not only is instructive to us, but that we trust has been helpful in your own journeys of faith. Thank you for the privilege. I will always treasure the gift that this has been to be a pastor among you. To that end, as I think about what to say today, and I've wrestled with this message probably for the last couple of weeks. When I was here and preached among you 2 weeks ago, we were looking at the call story of the first disciples as Jesus was along the lake shore and calls out to them and says, "Follow me," and with a kind of stunning suddenness, they drop everything and walk with Jesus. And I thought for myself, what is it that keeps me on the path? What is it that continues to be the hallmark of inspiration for my living as a follower of Jesus? And so I decided to choose selectively the three messages, the passages that we read today from Isaiah chapter 40, as well as the Psalm 131, and the story of Jesus in Mark, the fourth chapter, Jesus in a boat. To give some kind of a framework, though, to these rather diverse stories, I thought it might be helpful if we looked at them as memorable images that we can draw life lessons from. And I hope as we delve into them just very briefly that they will offer a lesson for living for you as well. So today I wanted to begin with that first image from Isaiah, the 40th chapter, as we hear from the ancient prophet. This particular verse that has been a part of my faith journey for many years. Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. I have to share with you that this has been a powerful image that has captivated my mind and my spirit from my earliest days as a young man when I was a student, a cadet at the United States Air Force Academy. Many were the days when I'd be walking across the campus grounds and I would look upward at the nearby Rampart Mountain Range that served as a backdrop to the campus. And often as my gaze turned heavenward, I would see these large birds, eagles perhaps, that were swirling in the heavens slowly, confidently, their wings outstretched as they floated effortlessly on the updrafts of the wind that was lifting them ever higher. As an aspiring aviator, I longed to soar to the heights much like those birds that I was watching. And in my second summer as a cadet, I had the opportunity to experience it firsthand in a program called Soaring, flying in glider planes. But the interesting part of my heartfelt desire to soar was learning what I soon discovered was instinctive to the birds. In order to soar to the heights, one must place yourself in a setting where you can experience the best lift of the currents of the air. And quite often this meant learning how to wait for the proper conditions in which to experience those uplifting air currents. So for the better part of 3 weeks in that summer, I was trained in skills of flying a glider, learning the rudiments of how to maneuver the craft, but it was a strange craft, as some of you can probably imagine. A rigid winged airplane with no engine, and we would be towed up into the sky and then released so that we could then use our best wisdom at trying to search out uplifting air currents so that we could spiral ever higher into the heavens. Now, why share this tale with you today? Well, it, to me, also helps me to experience this passage today from a more spiritual sense as well. To think about those who wait for the Lord and to be reminded that in waiting for the Lord, we can know the blessings of being spiritually lifted up like soaring eagles, as the prophet reminds us. But even as my heart yearned to experience such a thing, full confession here, throughout my life, especially in my faith journey, I've always struggled with waiting. Waiting for the Lord. Waiting to experience God's work in a real way in my life. If you're like me at all, maybe you can identify with this a bit. Waiting for just about anything tries my patience. Whether it's waiting in shopping lines, waiting at traffic lights, waiting to be served at a busy restaurant, waiting for those loved ones to finally arrive at the holidays, waiting to reach an anticipated life goal. You name it, and whenever it seems to come to waiting, I'm not the best of students. By way of this, I have to tell you of a story of one of my biggest lessons in waiting. It dates all the way back to the time when I was first falling in love with Joanne. We'd been dating for quite some time, and I was growing more and more excited about our budding relationship. After about 3 months, I decided that we had been seeing each other enough that I now knew in my heart of hearts she was the one. And so I decided that it was time to pop the big question. Joanne, I love you. Will you marry me? And as I looked her in the eye, she paused for a moment. And then this was her wise and measured response to me. Yes, but ask me again when the time is right. Here I was thinking it was the right time, obviously. But Joanne's restraint reminded me that there are some things that are so significant in life that it does require a little bit more patience, a little more planning, a little more purposeful waiting for the right time. And I can say now proudly, after nearly 42 years of married life together, she was worth the wait. But little did I know, with that lesson in living, it became kind of an ongoing feature of my spiritual journey as well. And I kept hearing that phrase over and over again, those who wait for the Lord will renew their strength. As a growing disciple following God's word over the years, it had been something that continued to shape and mold my thinking and my approach to living. Again and again, I found myself wrestling about what it means to wait for the Lord. And an insight that I have gained is something that I wanted to offer to you today. Friends, waiting for the Lord isn't some kind of boring, time-wasting, passive process. It's very much an active one that involves engagement and investment of self. Learning to wait for the Lord is all about intentionally pausing in one's life, slowing down one's engine, if you will, becoming quiet before the Lord, placing oneself in a position to truly listen to God's voice so that we can become more fully aware and engaged with this one that's been waiting for us. Did you hear that? To put ourselves in a position where we can become more fully aware of this God of ours who is waiting on us to draw near to Him. And so throughout my journey as a follower of Jesus, I've been struggling, learning, growing with what it means to wait prayerfully as a way of aligning my plans with God's plans, aligning my timing with God's perfect timing, aligning my thoughts with God's thoughts. So there you have it. There's the first memorable image that I want to plant within your minds and your hearts. As I continue to wait for the Lord in my journey of faithful living, I pray that God will continue to be one who gives me wings to rise up above my daily challenges as I rely upon His strength rather than my own. Which brings me to the second image that I want to plant in your minds and your hearts. And it comes today from the gospel story. It's a vivid tale that we are presented with. Evening, we're told, has descended now over this very busy day that Jesus has been sharing with His followers. Our Lord has been spending great amounts of time teaching great crowds of people about the kingdom of God. And the day finally is drawing to a close, and the sun is beginning to set over the Sea of Galilee. And Mark's gospel makes it very clear to us that our Lord is physically exhausted from His teaching and His time among the people. He needs a rest. He needs to experience time apart. And so leaving the crowds behind, Mark's gospel tells us that Jesus speaks these words, "Let us go to the other side." And so the disciples obey. They crawl into their boats, and they take Jesus along with them as He is. And then Mark begins painting this picture. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so much so that they were all being swamped. Now keep in mind, some of these disciples were experienced fishermen. No doubt they had weathered more than a few storms in their lives. But this particular storm must have been a doozy. But here's the thing. This time, Jesus is with them, fast asleep in the back of the boat. Mark, as the gospel writer, is very specific, though, about some details, more so than the other gospel writers who share this same story. They say that Jesus is in the stern, in the back of the boat, asleep on a cushion of all things, completely at ease in the midst of the storm. I can almost picture him, his head resting like he is just in his own mother's arms. Now, this is what I find truly intriguing by this story. And often when I'm reading the scriptures, I try to imagine what it must have been like to be those disciples. The picture of them in full panic mode. They're out in the waters. The waters are lapping over the top of the boat. They think they're going to sink. They start pulling on those oars as fast as they can to get to the nearest shoreline. And what's Jesus doing? He's the picture of calm. Completely at ease. Now, what would allow our Lord to face such a challenge with such composure? Now, I know there are frequently times in my own life when I could use a large dose of that non-anxious strength that Jesus seems to be exhibiting. And maybe those of you here today can look back on your own stormy moments in life and have felt the same way. So here's my takeaway. And it's a message that I strive to claim and reclaim frequently, and I need to do so. Jesus, I believe, could remain steady in a state of inner peace in defiance of all else that was falling apart around him because he was seamlessly connected with his heavenly Father. He even declared this truth to his followers with these words, "The Father and I are one." So the disciples knew this messaging. And this made me think, how often do I forget the reality of this? I study God's word. I try to claim the messages that are there. But I have to confess, far too often, I'm one who misses the boat too, just like the disciples. I don't always understand the message, but I can tell you that there are times when I do not claim the message that I know already. I forget to make it a part of my life. This is where I'm very much like the disciples in today's story, and maybe you have the same struggle. How many times is it, friends, that you and I face down stormy events in our living and we decide it's all up to me? I've got to get myself out of this mess in a hurry. We pull and tug against the waves all on our own, forgetting over and over again the essence of what we've heard and what we've learned and what we've been taught throughout our lives of faithful journeying. The message that Jesus, the one called Emmanuel, God with us, has been in this boat of life with us from the very beginning. Jesus came to live among us as God in the flesh, to make it clear to all of us beyond a shadow of doubt that we're never alone and he will never abandon us. That he is in the midst of all the storms that life throws at us. He even walked through the darkness of death itself to declare that nothing separates us from God's love for us. What an image. Jesus in the boat, asleep, at peace, in a storm of all things. It's an enduring image that I draw strength from day by day as I seek to remember who God is and who God promises himself to be. Some of the parting words that our Lord shared with his disciples before he went heavenward to be with his heavenly Father, we would do well to claim. He said this, "Remember, remember, followers, I am with you always, to the end of the age." Which leads me to the final image that I want to try to paint in your minds. It's portrayed in the psalm reading that we experience today. Psalm 131 is probably the shortest psalm in the scriptures. It's called the Song of Quiet Trust. And these words have been lingering with me ever since I revisited them. The psalmist says, I do not occupy myself with things too great or too marvelous for me, but I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. This is the picture of Jesus. What a beautiful image of humility and contentment. As we imagine in our mind's eye what it would be like to be a child just sheltered in the embrace of his or her mother. Such a picture speaks to my heart as that place that I want to seek out. A safe haven, a refuge in the presence of this one who wants to embrace us and guide us. The one who loves us without condition. Throughout my life, and perhaps for you as well, there have been far too many times in my living when I've longed for a sheltering experience. I've been out in the world doing battle with all kinds of things, and I come home and I'm especially feeling beaten and bruised by the cruelties of the world. Friends, it's this memorable image that I often go back to. And that I literally cling to as I draw my day to a close. Because it's in imagining and picturing this image of the God who loves me that gives me renewed life. And helps me to realize I'm not alone. It's an image into which I choose to lean again and again. As I seek to quiet my anxious heart and allow myself to grow untethered from the worries of the world because I know that God's got me. I lean into his loving, nurturing, sheltering embrace. And I want to say this. Such a picture from this short psalm also gives me a heaven-bound image of who God is as I seek to reconnect with him, recognizing that as I reach out to him, he's already reaching out to me. Such a picture I want to leave with you today that's rooted in a poem that I learned back at the Air Force Academy. I was honored to sing in the chorale during my student years there, and there was a particular poem that was put to music. The poem is a writing that comes from a Canadian Spitfire pilot during World War II. His name is John Gillespie McGee. And the poem is entitled High Flight. Try to picture this image in your hearts today. Oh, I have slipped the surly bonds of earth and danced the skies on laughter-silvered wings. Sunward I've climbed and joined the tumbling mirth of sun-split clouds and done 100 things you have not dreamed of. Wheeled and soared, soared and swung high in the sunlit silence. Hovering there, I have chased the shouting winds along and flung my eager craft through footless halls of air. Up, up, the long and delirious burning blue, I've topped the windswept heights with easy grace, where never lark or eagle flew. And while with silent lifting mind I've trod the high untrespassed sanctity of space, put out my hand and touched the face of God. Friends, I can't think of a better image to leave you with as I part from you as one who has journeyed with you these past 5 years. And to leave you with that continual prayer that you too would learn to wait for the Lord and find Him waiting for you. That you too would remember and be reminded daily of this one who is with us, who has us in His loving embrace, and to lean into that embrace every day that you draw breath, and that together we could continue our journeys looking heavenward until we meet our God face to face. May it be so.